It really seems like America is falling apart at the seams and the whole world is shaking and quaking. How do you live with faith, hope, and a clear mind in the midst of it? We'll help you today right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, let's be honest. Ebola, ISIS, immigration crisis, all kinds of turmoil worldwide. Seems like the nation's falling apart at the seams. How do we live in faith? How do we live in confidence? Oh, yeah, I'm going to keep talking about this. I'm going to keep talking about living in faith and confidence and hope because we need to, as the people of God, we need to be able to look at hell breaking loose around us and remain confident, immovable, stable, and hang on, and bringing hope to the world around us. Oh, yeah. Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire. It is my delight and joy to be with you today. I want to put a couple of questions before you, but I want to share scripture, scriptural principles, biblical truths that will help you stay strong. Now look, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't have a solid relationship with God, if you're not secure in your sins being forgiven, if you're not secure in God being your Father, you have to start there. You have to start knowing you're in right relationship with God, and we can help you. If you're searching and seeking, shoot us a note through our website, info@askdrbrown.org, info@askdrbrown.org. Just say, I need to find security in God. I need to know that I know I'm right with God. And we'll send you literature that will help you. But to all of you who say, I'm a believer, I believe, friends, that it's not just a matter of, we made it. We made it to the end. Remember the old hymn, maybe some still sing it, Hold the Fort, for I am coming, Jesus, whisper still. I don't want to just hold the fort. I want to be out changing the world. I don't want to have the fortress mentality of, okay, we're safe and secure. We've got all the walls strong and the gates strong and nobody can get. No, we're supposed to be going out and touching the world. Friends, we are overcomers. We are the head and not the tail. I don't mean that we rule over the society. I'm talking spiritually. Spiritually, we are overcomers. Spiritually, we are more than conquerors. People can persecute us and reject us and in some parts of the world kill us. We are still overcomers. And look at what Jesus says here. He's talking about the end of the age. There'll be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. So he's talking about first the destruction of Jerusalem in the following generation in the year 70 AD. Then he's talking about the Jewish people scattered around the world until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Then in Luke 21:25, then there will be signs in the sun, moon, stars. There'll be anguish on the earth among nations bewildered by the roaring seas and waves. People will faint from fear and expectation of the things that are coming on the world because the celestial powers will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is near. Now look, we may be the last generation. And even when I say that, I'm 59. Some of you are listening and you've got kids that are 3 months old. So this generation spans a lot of ground. My mom's 92. But when we say that our attitude should be as everything shakes around us, it causes us to lift our heads up, whether we're the last generation or not, we live with the same attitude that the ungluing of this world, that the shaking of the world is just an occasion for us to put our hope in God. All right, I've got a couple of questions I want to ask you, but I'm going to open the phones to anything you want to ask me about any Bible-related subjects, theology, moral, cultural subject of any kind, anything you want to talk to me about, I'm going to open the phone lines, 866-34-TRUTH, and I've got some questions for you, some news, and some biblical principles to live by. Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
The city is sending an absolute message to these pastors. If you speak up, we will make you pay.
Fundamentalists on the whole are the problem, no matter if you're Christian, Muslim, Jew, or Hindu.
Any faith school of any denomination that were to, in a sense, turn inwards, allowing them to become silos of segregation, clearly needs to be looked at, and that's exactly what will now happen.
Ah, you heard the voices of Carrie Kupek, Legal Communications Director for the Alliance Defending Freedom, speaking of the Houston pastors, and the city is attempting to bully and intimidate. If you haven't followed that, go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and click on latest video and latest article, and you'll scroll down and see a lot of information about that. And then you heard from Rosie O'Donnell, and then from Nick Clegg, Deputy Prime Minister, speaking about a school in England, a Christian school that faces potential closure for failing to promote other faiths despite its academic success. Does feel like the world is kind of falling apart. Does feel like everything is shaking around us. Nonetheless, our God sits on the throne. Can I tell you something? 866-348-7884. Can I remind you of the fact that the world has been messed up since Adam and Eve fell? That their firstborn son killed their secondborn son? I mean, this is the beginning of the human race. That the world was so wicked that God had to wipe out everyone except for Noah and his family. That there has been chaos, there has been sin, there has been every kind of perversion imaginable through human history. And you say, well, how does that encourage me? It should remind you that it's not like, oh, no, everything is getting out of control. It can feel like that. But look, what we've suffered here, the scare with Ebola in America, how can you compare that to what has happened and the tremendous suffering that's taken place in Africa? Here, I just got this note, a ministry update from dear friends of ours in India. You've heard Yesu Padam on the air with us before, and they emailed us to let us know, just to their general mailing list, what's happened in India. Now, I'm first telling you some bad news, okay? I'm telling you some bad news, but it's going to turn to good news, all right? So some bad news first, then some good news. There was a cyclone that hit the city of Vishakhapatnam in India. This is where we've gone every year for 21 straight years. December, God willing, to be trip number 22. They wrote initially there was extensive damage in the city, especially at the beach and to the airport. The beach roads and homes were destroyed, and the airport roof blew off, and the inside is just rubble, as well as the tower destroyed. I believe they're talking about the new facility that was built, which was literally 10 times better and probably bigger than the previous one. We heard that all flights will not land for around 20 days at this point. Our ministry had some damage. Our school roof on the fourth floor blew off as if it was sheets of tin. A large tree in front of our church fell over. Two windows broke in our house. Anything that was outside and not strongly fastened was broken in the 125-mile-an-hour winds. However, our local small churches were not damaged, and praise God, everyone was protected. goes on. Well, now they get home a few days later because they were in Germany. As we were home, our hearts broke as we saw and realized the full extent of damage on our city, ministry, home, churches, and people's lives. It will take years to recover, if at all. Basically, Vishakhapatnam and hundreds of kilometers to the north and south of the city were stripped bare of all vegetation, leaving a sad gray-brown existence, and almost everything in the path of the storm was somehow damaged or destroyed. Our zoo was also stripped bare, and all the animals are now running wild, including tigers. Yeah, this is a real report from our dear friends, Yesu Padam and Monica, in India. The government is trying its best to deal with the devastation, but it's limited, and there is fear of disease as the rains have continued off and on. Please continue to pray with us. On Saturday, we rallied and gave out 500 bags of rice, 10 kilos each, to 500 families in our area who are hardest hit. It was a joyous yet painful time as we saw how many more needed help, and this was just a drop in the bucket. By the way, go to LNC, as in love and care, LNCministries.org if you'd like to help. LNCministries.org if you'd like to help. You say, well, why read that? Okay, first I want to put in perspective that there are a lot more horrific things happening around the world than in most of our worlds. Unless you've been hit with personal tragedy, there's a lot more upheaval, shaking happening around the world. And this is happening continually over the years. It is a messed up world. Don't overreact just because things are crazy now, or because there's a fear of Ebola, or because there's a fear of radical Islam, or because there is a fear of some other problem coming our way. Don't overreact, because the world has always been messed up, but Jesus is still Lord. He still ascended to heaven. He still sits at the right hand of the Father. He still has all authority in heaven and in earth. God is not moved. God is pained by human suffering, but God is not moved, and therefore we should not be moved. Let me read Psalm 112 to you. And then I'm going to put out my question to you, and I will start going to the phones. Psalm 112, I've read this on the air before, but can you ever hear God's word too much? Hallelujah. Happy is the man who fears the Lord, taking great delight in his commands. His descendants will be powerful in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light shines in the darkness for the upright man. He is gracious, compassionate, and righteous. If you'll go back to Psalm 111, you'll see that God is described as gracious, compassionate, and righteous, and we are to mirror him in the world. Good will come to a man who lends generously and conducts his business fairly. Yeah, and by the way, these are verses that people take to say God wants to trust us with resources so we can bless and help others. That's why God trusts us with resources, not just to meet our own needs, but so that we can give and help those in need. Now, look at this about this righteous, godly man. He will never be shaken. Why? Because he or she is grounded in God. Because he or she has deep roots. Because when the storm comes, that giant tree stands, not because it's so giant, but because the roots are so deep and the roots are so widespread. The righteous man will be remembered forever. He will not fear bad news. His heart is confident, trusting in the Lord. His heart is assured. He will not fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes. He distributes freely to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted in honor. The wicked man will see it and be angry. He will gnash his teeth in despair. The desire of the wicked man will come to nothing. So it's saying ultimately, wickedness will be punished. Ultimately, righteousness will be exalted. Now, in a current situation like Houston, I simply encourage pastors, leaders to continue to stand strong, and for leaders across the country to say, we are all standing together. When they mess with Houston pulpits, Texas pulpits, they mess with all of our pulpits. And interestingly, Benjamin Hall III, PhD, JD, a former Houston city attorney, has now weighed in reluctantly because he would rather not weigh in. In other words, he'd rather let the current city attorney do his job. He said the toils of the job are hard enough without a predecessor's Monday morning quarterbacking, but what the city attorney of Houston and the mayor have done, what they've done is so egregious, so wrong, so over the top, that former city attorney Benjamin Hall III has now weighed in, and he says this: pastors have the right to preach their convictions without second thought about city attorneys intruding upon their thought processes or religious convictions. The very request by the city attorneys is reckless. And he goes on, I stand firm in my conviction that the city lawyers who subpoenaed the sermon records, and other documents from clergy have grossly overstepped their bounds. The trial court must take appropriate and immediate steps to corral this reckless conduct. Some have said, no, go the extra mile. Jesus said, if you're compelled to go a mile, meaning a Roman soldier compels you to carry his arms for a mile, carry him 2 miles. Carry him 2 miles. Wherever we can, in conscience and conscientiousness, serve and give ourselves to be a blessing and take the high road in terms of the road of highest honor and the low road in terms of the road of deepest humility, we do it. When we are asked to disobey God, when there is sinful constitutional overreach that violates essential freedoms that if we don't stand for, we hurt following generations, then we stand to do what's right. Then with all respect to the authorities, we say we must obey God rather than man. All right, question for you. Did Jesus call the church to be relevant? We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You say, well, isn't that music for Thirdly Jewish Thursday? Ah, almost, not quite. That's the voice of Paul Wilbur. Michael Brown, welcome back to the broadcast. I'm going to the phones momentarily, but I want to encourage you, take a minute, as soon as you have a minute, or jot a note down to yourself to remind you, go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and right on the homepage, you want to click right there on the homepage, the special resource offer about Let the Lion Roar. In the next few days, I'll be joined by Paul Wilbur, John Burness, Derek Frank, others. And we are going to be doing exclusive interviews about Let the Lion Roar. Many of you have read my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, that talks about the tragic history of anti-Semitism in the church, persecution of Jews in Jesus' name. Well, now there's a documentary. There is a documentary that lays this out. And it is compelling. It is riveting. It has folks like Stephen Baldwin and Kevin Sorba making appearances on it, recasting moments like words from Martin Luther or John Calvin or others. And it is stirring. In fact, I want to play clip number 8 in a moment, Joey. These are the words of Saint Augustine. Yes, Augustine or Augustine of Hippo, one of the most influential church leaders of all time. And certainly after Paul and the earliest leaders, the most influential in the first 5 centuries. This package that we have will give you the DVD documentary, plus the Blu-ray disc of the documentary, plus a book on the subject by Derek Frank, plus the CD of the exclusive interviews, and it's only $40 for the entire package. Easiest thing is to just go to the website, ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and order there, or give us a call at 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. All right, my question for you, did Jesus call us to be relevant? Did Jesus call us to be relevant? Is it important for us to be able to speak the language of the people and communicate the gospel to people in a way they can understand? Or can we go overboard with that and water down the message in trying to reach people? Did Jesus call us to be relevant? If so, how so? If not, what are the traps in that way of thinking? Before we talk about that at all, I want to just go to those who've been holding. We'll start with Brian in Boston, Massachusetts. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Pastor. I just wanted to mention, you haven't mentioned the minister in Idaho who was told by the, I don't know if it was the city council or whoever, that they don't start performing gay same-sex marriages right away.
I actually talked about it yesterday. I can't expect everybody to follow every detail of what I say, but I'm so glad you're aware of that. Yeah. So here's the story. It's a couple. The Knapps, they have been married for 47 years. They live in Ohio. They're ordained ministers of the Church of the Four Square Gospel, International Church of the Four Square Gospel. Quote, evangelical Christians who hold to historic Christian beliefs that God created two distinct genders in his image, that God ordained marriage to be between one man and one woman. But as a result of the courts redefining marriage and a city ordinance that now creates special privileges based on sexual orientation and gender identity, the Knapps are being told you must perform same-sex so-called weddings or you could face fines, even imprisonment. And by the way, our president has now said that same-sex so-called marriage is a constitutional right. So that, let me say this, though, in all candor, Brian, while this is terribly wrong, while this is, again, complete overreach of the government, while this is an assault on our freedoms, we've said all along it was coming. We've said years that those who came out of the closet fighting for what they said was equality and tolerance and equal rights. I understand their perspective. I said those who came out of the closet were going to put us in the closet. One Christian attorney then added this: those who were once arrested are now going to want us to be arrested. Well, just for quoting that attorney, Brian, I got vilified. I got mocked. Websites took that clip of me and said, look at what Brown is saying, that those who got arrested, we don't want to arrest anybody. And yet, you do not hear the major gay activist organizations denouncing this. You don't hear the major gay activist organizations denouncing the actions of Mayor Anise Parker and City Attorney David Feldman in Houston. So, of course, we expect this. And to me, the bad news is the good news. And this is another perspective for all of us to help us live with faith, that what society means for evil, what sin means for evil, what Satan means for evil, what another religion means for evil, what an activist organization means for evil, God turns for good. I am believing that all of these things are finally waking people up to the realities that we must stand for right now, that this is not just idle talk. And it may take some of us going to jail for our convictions, but out of it, I'm saying that a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution will arise. Hey, Brian, thanks for listening. By the way, WEZE, you get this whole hour from 2 to 3 your time, so just want to mention that. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Renita in Benton, Kentucky. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How are you today, Dr. Brown?
I'm blessed, thank you.
I just wanted to call in and kind of give an over everything that is happening. The Lord has been speaking to me for over 3 or 4 years, particular things that was going to happen on the earth. And one of them was not even 2 years ago that God was going, there was going to be another Holocaust, and it was going to make the first one look like a picnic. But this time it was going to be the Jews and the Christians. Well, we see that already happening now. He's also spoken to me that he's going to send an enemy against America from the north, which I believe is Russia. God did not say Russia, but our enemy from the north, I believe, is Russia. We'll see how that plays out. But he said that he's going to do this because three reasons. Number one, we have forsaken him altogether. Number two, we have broken covenant with him. And number three, for our shedding of the innocent blood.
Yeah, and Renita, I've just got to jump in because we've got a break here. Obviously, every word that anyone feels they received, of course, must be tested. We understand that. But this much is clear. This much is clear. Followers of Jesus are never exempt from persecution for the faith. 2 Timothy 3:12, all who live godly lives will suffer persecution. Jesus said, if the world hates you, remember it hated me first. And certainly the shedding of innocent blood and other sins in our nation must be judged. God's mercy is long-suffering, but his judgment is absolutely real. And we need to pray for the mercy of God, for the intervention of God, and for all who call on the Lord to be delivered. Lift your head up. The more things shake around you, the more you remember the kingdom of God is unshakable.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Maybe you missed this news. It's reported yesterday by Nick Duffy on Pink News, Europe's largest gay news service, probably reported in the States as well, but I was just sent this link. Democrat Nancy Pelosi has called for the U.S. military to reform regulations which ban transgender people from serving openly. Despite gay people being able to serve openly from 2011 when Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed, transgender people remain actively banned from the U.S. military by its health code. And critics have condemned the outdated regulations, which do not reflect modern medical attitudes towards transgender people. And Mara Kiesling of the National Center for Transgender Equality said military service for transgender people is right morally and, very importantly, is right for military readiness. We are 100% confident that open trans military service is as inevitable as the military bureaucracy that seems to have stalled progress once again. As I said, when it came to out homosexuals serving in the military, I'm appreciative of everyone wanting to serve. I'm appreciative for those who want to lay their lives on the line to defend our country. The person identifies as LGBT. I'm appreciative of that, but I oppose the repealing of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, because I said plainly, if this is not a sexual issue, then don't make it into a sexual issue. In other words, if gay men rooming together with other straight and gay men, if that is going to have no implications romantically or sexually, then don't bring it up and don't make others uncomfortable. And you say, yeah, well, all your concerns were much to do about nothing. Hardly. There has been a great increase in sexual assaults since Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed. Say, I haven't heard about that on the news. Oh, interesting. Look into it a little bit more. And it could even be that men who are abused by their commanders, those over them, or other men, will be even more reluctant to report things than women who are abused by men. There's a big enough problem already with men abusing women. Now, at least you have them in separate locations and not serving in fully identical settings across the board, but you have men with men in identical settings and rooming next to each other and so on. Of course, you're going to have increased sexual activity and increased sexual assault. Now, you want to have a situation, look, remember it's about the military. Remember it's about what's best for the country. Remember it's about the cohesion of troops. You're going to have a man who identifies as a woman who will now serve, I guess, with women, or a woman who identifies as a man who will now serve with men. And there could be various stages of sex change surgery and so on. And everyone else just has to accept that. That is unfair, and that is now making the exception into the rule and raising all kinds of other issues for the military that they never would have had to deal with. So just to weigh in on that, you say, man, when I hear that, though, it gets me agitated. Instead of getting agitated, I would encourage you to turn it to prayer. Oh, by the way, yeah, there is the argument with the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell that victims may be more likely to report sexual offenses because it doesn't matter if they're discovered to be gay. But there are plenty of people, especially a man being raped by another man or taken advantage of by another man, I think would be even more reluctant to come forward than a woman. But when you hear these things, rather than getting agitated, turn it to prayer. Turn it to prayer for individuals. Turn it to prayer for your own heart. Turn it to prayer for the nation. So remember, the world's always been messed up. Jesus is Lord. There is always a place you can get to. There's always a place you can get to. You can kind of raise your head higher and get above the storm, above the clouds, above the turmoil by going to God. And then rather than giving yourself to frustration and agitation, give yourself to prayer. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back.
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
How would you feel if you learned that some of the most respected leaders in church history had a very conspicuous blind spot, and let's say they were racists? Let's say that they despised people with dark skin, or let's say they despised Asians, or and they spoke out against them, or they spoke about them as inferior people or somehow uniquely under God's judgment. Would that change your view? Well, listen to these words, clip number 8.
The Jews were the sons of God, but now they are the sons of Satan. The true image of the Hebrews is Judas Iscariot, who sells the Lord for silver. The Jews will never understand the scriptures and forever bear the guilt for the death of Christ.
Who is that? That was St. Augustine. Yeah, Augustine of Hippo, one of the most influential leaders in church history, did so much good in so many ways, obviously had certain doctrines and stances that I don't agree with, but how do you account for words like that? To find out more, go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Right on the homepage, click on the resource package for Let the Lion Roar, DVD, Blu-ray disc, book, and exclusive interviews that we'll be doing here on the Line of Fire on CD. So this is the only place you can get this entire package together. Go to the website to check it out. It's a very, very important resource. Okay, let me get back to this principle of how to walk with sanity, how to walk with confidence in the midst of a messed up world. 866-34-TRUTH. And again, open the phone lines in the first half hour. Do it again now. Anything you want to ask me about, questions that might normally come up on another day of the week, anything you want to ask me about, talk about, by all means, give me a call. If you want to probe these issues and how do we respond to others, my ears are open and I'm eager to respond. 866-348-7884. I said a few minutes ago that rather than getting agitated, we need to pray. Now, there's a holy agitation which is right and good, where it's just enough is enough. Enough is enough. And we've got to stand and we've got to do what's right, and we've got to step out of our comfort zone. That's good. There is a holy anger, which is not a carnal fleshly anger. It's not losing your temper. It's rather a matter of saying, okay, I must stand and do what is right. Enough is enough. And in the same way, there is an agitation which is holy and right, but most of the time we get agitated, and it's carnal, it's natural, it's fleshly. And how do you know? Because the attitudes aren't right, because it doesn't produce peace, because it doesn't produce fruit, because it doesn't produce intimacy with God, because it doesn't produce outreach to others. It produces stomach-churning agitation. Listen to what Jacob, James, said about this in the first chapter of his book. He said this, "My dearly beloved brothers," so this is Jacob, James, chapter 1, verse 19, "My dearly loved brothers, understand this, everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for man's anger does not accomplish God's righteousness." Man's anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. In other words, if I'm just going to fume and get upset and say, oh, this is wrong and that's messed up and something's got to, and this Obama guy, and this, I don't know about this Pelosi, and I mean, I can't trust the Republican, I don't know who to, and you're just mad, it doesn't produce fruit, does it? It doesn't produce life in the spirit. It doesn't produce peace. It doesn't produce faith. It produces agitation. But if you'll turn that instead to prayer and driving in your car or getting alone, get with God and say, Father, I'm really upset. I am so upset. Everything seems to be falling apart around us. I can't believe how we've botched this with our government. I can't believe how we're doing this wrong. God, I'm, my own life's not right. You know, you start to reflect on your own life when you pray. And then you start to realize, man, I got a bad attitude towards people. Here, I'm going to read something to you, all right? Let's use this little test case. This is UPI.com. Matt Bradwell reporting earlier this morning. Headline, Christian minister helps two lesbian couples sue Mississippi over same-sex marriage ban. Jackson, Mississippi. A pair of same-sex couples in Mississippi are suing the conservative state and federal court, claiming Mississippi's ban on same-sex marriage violates their constitutional rights. Gay people in 32 states have the right to marry, points out the lawsuit. It's now time to take the next big step by making sure that gay families in Mississippi are accorded these same protections. Filed by the Campaign for Southern Equality, the suit alleges Rebecca Bickett and long-term partner Andrea Saunders, as well as Jocelyn Pritchett and her partner Carla Webb, had their constitutional rights violated by being denied the right to marry. It's time we were able to live with legal protections in our home state, Pritchett said in a statement. We love Mississippi. It is home for us. We have many beautiful friends and family members here. Now, Southern Equality Director Jasmine Beach Ferrara is a United Church of Christ minister. She's also the executive director of the Campaign for Southern Equality. She said, quote, all across Mississippi, we work with loving, committed LGBT families who are proud to call the state home. But they also suffer the harms of discrimination daily. Equality cannot come quickly enough to Mississippi for these families. Now, when you hear this, when you hear that a reverend, United Church of Christ, and of course they have turned away from Scripture, United Church of Christ, in support of the redefining of marriage, but when you hear that Reverend Jasmine Beach Farrar is standing with these couples and saying marriage needs to be redefined, and when you hear the names of the couples, if you're a follower of Jesus, you believe what Scripture says about marriage and family, when you hear these words, does that produce love towards these people or anger towards them? How dare, this is a minister. How dare a minister do this? What, come on, these ladies say that okay, they're committed to each other. What about kids that need a father? And what about now they're going to impose this on everyone else and all of Mississippi is going to have to recognize it? In other words, when I read something like this to you, it probably produces an agitation. When I read this to you, it probably produces an attitude of, that's not right. But we have to get beyond that to now pray for the people involved. We have to get beyond that to now pray for God's conviction on this Reverend Jasmine Beach Farrar. She may not even be a born-again believer in any way. We need to pray that the Holy Spirit would work in her heart. We need to pray that her eyes would be open to righteousness. Maybe she once walked closely with the Lord but has now had a change of heart based on human relations. We need to pray for these women to really come to know the Lord. You say, well, how do you know they don't know the Lord? Well, if they truly knew the Lord, they would not be living in committed relationships with one another because that's not what God intended for them. So the agitation, I understand, and hey, I can easily provoke it, but I want to provoke something beyond that, which is the call to prayer and the call to love and the call to stand for what's right and bring grace and truth together. And look, the question about the church being relevant, and I'll go to the phones on that in a moment. The question about the church being relevant came up with discussion by Pastor Brian Houston, founder of Hillsong, so a network of churches with several tens of thousands of members now, when he was asked by New York Times correspondent Michael Paulson last week, can your pastors preside at same-sex marriages? Because Hillsong has congregations in California and New York now, where marriage has been redefined, at least for the moment. Pastor Houston replied, part of his reply, it can be challenging for churches to stay relevant because many mainstream churches upheld what they would believe is the long-established view of what the Bible says about homosexuality, but the world has changed around and about them. He continued, so the world's changing. We want to stay relevant as a church, so that's a vexing thing. You think, how do we not become a pariah? So, to what extent are we called to be relevant? Does that just mean becoming all things to all people, as Paul said that he was to the Corinthians? Is that what it means? Or is it right for us to kind of couch the message in a certain way where we don't really initially tell people directly what we believe? I mean, if we do, we're going to turn them away before they come in the doors. And there's so much sensitivity towards the issue of homosexuality these days that if we say too much, maybe that we'll never get in the door, we could reach it with the gospel. Or is that just the path of compromise? This is not a critique of Pastor Houston right now. This is a question for all of us. He did put out a follow-up statement on Saturday, I believe, where he said, "Nowhere in my answer did I diminish biblical truth or suggest that I or Hillsong supported gay marriage. My personal view on the subject of homosexuality would line up with most traditionally held Christian views. I believe the writings of Paul are clear in the subject." Many have said, come on, he should have gone further and been even more clear. But I appreciate him doing that. We'll be right back. Talk about relevance.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Yeah, Betsy, great point. The world changes. God's word does not. So the question is, if I'm going over to a tribe in Africa, and I don't speak their language, and I don't have an interpreter, and I'm not aware that maybe an outfit I'm wearing is offensive to them because it's an outfit from a neighboring tribe that they're at war with, then I'll never get to bring them the message. On the other hand, if I think, well, it will offend them if I tell them there's only one true God, it will offend them because of the fact that, they're idol worshipers. Well, now I've compromised the word. So the question of relevance cuts both ways. A lot of it depends on what we mean by it. Look, there are churches called Relevant Church, and probably some are cutting edge and some are not. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to David in Silver Springs, Maryland. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire today.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I've been thinking about this the last couple two or three decades with the total degradation of society, the government involvement, as you know, with Obamacare sanctifying abortions and between, what's going on with the gay activists. I just, in a nutshell, do you believe that we're headed for a second civil war?
It's possible.
Really?
It's possible, but here, I can't, let me just say why I say it. If there a point came where the government was going to require things, say, of the state of Texas that Texans said, we don't want, would they argue to secede? I think that could easily happen. Right now, there is a moral and cultural war. Right now, there is a moral, cultural civil war that we are in the midst of. Could there be a physical civil war? Boy, I mean, I absolutely hope not on every level. And there's nothing that I stand for in America that I would take up arms for other than just, protecting people from a foreign invasion. In other words, if the government said to me, you can no longer preach and teach what you believe, I'm not going to take arms up against the government. If the government said you're going to jail if you keep preaching and teaching, then by God's grace, I keep preaching and teaching. And if I go to jail, I go to jail. So there's nothing that I could ever say that I would take up arms for against the government. I know others feel different, our own history and all that, aside from simply protecting people from an enemy onslaught. But right now, there is a massive cultural civil war that we are in the midst of. I mean, that's undeniable.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like if jackbooted thugs came into your house and took all your Bibles and, God forbid, took your loved ones, you would say there's a right to pick up arms against them.
Well, if someone was trying illegally to hurt or attack my family, the first thing we try to do is flee. Is there a right to self-defense? Yeah, if someone breaks into your home in the middle of the night and you've got a baseball bat by the side of the bed, and they come after you and you hit them over the head with a baseball bat to stop them from killing your family, yeah, that's justifiable. At the same time, we have to be very, very careful and you were in your question, David, but be very, very careful with questions and thoughts about taking up arms for a cause, especially for a religious cause. I cannot, and look, I'm not in association with anybody. I am not in association with anyone. There's not a single person that I work with who is advocating we need to take up arms and overthrow the government for our religious beliefs. I couldn't imagine working with anyone who thinks that way. Self-defense against an intruding enemy, yeah, I mean, many would say you can defend yourself. But the polarization in our country is massive right now, and we cannot deny that. David, thanks for the call. Initially, David was calling to talk about being relevant, but I guess it switched as he held. Pew Research, June 14th, 2014, political polarization in the American public among all Democrats. 27% say GOP's policies are a threat to the well-being of the country among all Republicans. More than a third, 36%, think Democratic policies threaten the nation. I know there's a lot of political rhetoric as we get close to elections, but this is serious. This is serious. Angela in Salem, New Hampshire, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi.
Hello.
Nice to talk to you. Can you
Thank
hear
you.
Me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I had a question about 1 Corinthians. I believe it's chapter 6, how Paul is talking about sexual immorality.
Mm-hmm.
And in my Bible, it mentions, homosexuality. And a young lady had brought up that word was added in, I don't know if she said added in the Bible or that wasn't the real word in the Greek or...
Yeah. It's a complete smokescreen to say, well, the word homosexual didn't exist in biblical times or that same equivalent didn't exist in the early English language.
Uh-huh.
Who cares about what existed in the English language hundreds of years ago, because we're translating into English today. There are plenty of words that we use in our Bible today that were not part of vocabulary 200 or 500 years ago. The question is, what do the Greek words mean? And the Greek words plainly speak about practicing homosexuals. In fact, there are two different Greek words that are used, and when used together, it removes doubt. That's why there are lesbian scholars, homosexual scholars, those who advocate, quote, gay Christianity, but they said, yeah, we got to be honest. Paul speaks against it.
Mm-hmm.
And the two
mm-hmm.
words probably go hand in hand to be speaking of just putting the two together, men who practice homosexuality. And mm-hmm. Angela, are you able to purchase a book on this, or are your funds really tight?
No, I can purchase a book.
Yeah, let me recommend to you my book, Can You Be Gay and Christian?
Okay.
I deal with these issues at length. I deal with these verses, 1 Corinthians 6:9 and other verses at length. I break down the Greek, the Hebrew for the Old Testament simply. And the whole book is written with compassion and love for those who identify as LGBT. So it's called Can You Be Gay and Christian? And it'll really answer this. And then give it to your friends. Say, hey, look at this and mm-hmm. go through it together, okay?
Sounds great. Thanks for your help.
All right, sure thing. God bless you. All right, friends, I am out of time. I was about to give the number out again, but I am out of time. If you really want to speak with me, you really want to get through to me, you can call now, and I'll be taking calls in the next hour. Just have to hold a little while. But if this is your only window to call, well, I'm happy to take some more calls, 866-34-TRUTH. But call now, not that number, but this number, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, and ask for our special resource offer this week. It's $40 postage paid. Everything you get, and it's actually a great deal. You get the DVD and the Blu-ray disc of the riveting, fascinating documentary, Let the Lion Roar, How the Church Lost Its Jewish Roots and Even Turned Against Israel. Eye-opener. And a book on the subject. And then exclusive interviews with Paul Wilbur, John Burness, and other leaders. Call or order 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, you may get agitated and upset over what you hear in the news and what you see in the world around you. Turn that agitation to prayer, intercession, and worship. It really seems like America is falling apart at the seams and the whole world is shaking and quaking. How do you live with faith, hope, and a clear mind in the midst of it? We'll help you today right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, every time something happens in the news, every time something happens and you hear about the latest crisis, someone's going to say, this is the end of the world. It's all over. You see, this proves it. Can I tell you something? That right now in America, with the crises that we're experiencing, with the upheaval around us, with the turmoil around us, with the confusion around us, with the massive divisions in our country around us, we're in a much more stable time than at many other times in our history. In other words, we've had worse times. Oh, certain things we've never had because of new technology and other things. There are certain patterns of life that are different, but people are still people. We have had much worse times in our history than right now, which means, no, don't get complacent. Don't suddenly like, oh, so it's not so bad. No, because it is bad. But rather than thinking it's the end of the world, rather than being like Chicken Little, and please, I'm not demeaning those who feel that this is it and Jesus is coming any minute now. I'm not demeaning that. But, you know, it can get a little old when every time there's a new news item, we say, this is it, this is the end of the world. I've been telling you, and we're like 99 years old now, we've been telling people for 98 years, you might think, okay, maybe we need to reevaluate. So I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you to stand strong. I want to encourage you never to look at yourself as the victim, but to remember in Jesus that you are an overcomer. The pastors in Houston who are getting bullied by gay activists, who are getting bullied by Mayor Parker and City Attorney Feldman and the courts, this is a time to stand strong. This is what you're made for. We're never in that sense the victims, because even in parts of the world where we're getting put to death for our faith, we're the victors, we're the overcomers, because we have said, no, I will not deny Jesus. I will not deny my faith. I will honor God no matter what. And in doing so, we overcome. And the seed of martyrs ends up being, the blood of martyrs ends up being the seed of the church. Somewhere, somehow, God does that. All right, bunch of things I want to talk to you about today. News item. Matt, when was this survey done about unmarried evangelical young adults? I've got a striking figure I'm going to give you in a moment. But I'm opening the phone lines. So anything you want to talk to me about, any question you want to ask, any biblically based question or controversy that you want to ask, address, raise to me if you differ with me, phone lines will be open wide, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. But here, from September 2011, and I would expect could be even worse today, 80% of unmarried evangelical young adults aged 18 to 29 said that they've had sex. 80%. Now, what we don't know about that stat is, does it mean they had sex before they were saved? Because then that would color everything. That would change things radically. But if it means as believers, that would explain part of the moral crisis we're having in the church because of the extraordinary compromise that exists in the society today that swept into the church. How do we respond? With panic, with fear, or with further determination to go after God? Could it be that this backsliding, this moral decline, this chaos is the very thing we need to push us to pray for awakening?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to clip number 11. This is Rosie O'Donnell on The View, Monday, October 6th. And they're discussing the ideas about fundamentalists or the religious right. And I've got some chilling things to read to you about that in a moment. I'm going to share some things that will be upsetting, but then out of that, I want to give you hope, courage, strength. And the phone lines are open, 866-348-7884. Clip number 11.
Ben's point was that fundamentalists on the whole are the problems, right? Fundamentalists on the whole all believe in some common things, that women are second-class citizens, that gays are evil, that violence is okay if my side does it since I speak for God, that sex is generally bad, that other religions are inferior, and that my religion is being victimized. No matter if you're Christian, Muslim, Jew, or Hindu, they have all these traits in common called fundamentalism.
All right. Let's just listen to a bit more before I comment. And she's referring to Ben Affleck defending Islam on the Bill Maher show. And I would say that Ben Affleck did not help the cause that he was advocating in his appearance. This is now Rosie O'Donnell and co-host Nicole Wallace. Clip number 12 as the discussion continues.
But don't you think that the reason that ISIS was created was because when Saudi hijackers attacked us, we invaded a different country that had nothing to do with it? That would incite people to radicalize. The reason
you think
that
we do things to make them mad and
I
they
think
come
we
get
have
us?
To be responsible for our actions. And if Saudi hijackers did what they did on 9/11, you don't invade Iraq and kill innocent people
what
in the process.
Now, why did I play that clip? Because it mentions ISIS, in other words, fundamentalists like ISIS, fundamentalists like radical Muslims, fundamentalists like you and me? Is that what they're saying? Well, listen to Peter Tatchell. This is his organization. He's a gay activist in Britain. His organization has issued a call on people everywhere to stand with us to establish an international front against the religious right and for secularism. So what does he mean by the religious right? He means, quote, the Islamic State, formerly ISIS, the Saudi regime, Hindutva, which is some group in India, the Christian right in the U.S. and Europe, Bodu Balasena in Sri Lanka, Haredim, ultra-Orthodox Jews in Israel, AQMI and MUJAO in Mali, Boko Haram in Nigeria, the Taliban in Afghanistan and Pakistan, to the Islamic Republic of Iran and the Islamic Salvation Front in Algeria. So notice ISIS, Boko Haram, Islamic Republic of Iran, Taliban and Afghanistan. He left out Al-Qaeda, but I'm sure he was not giving a comprehensive list here. But in that is the Christian right in the U.S. and Europe. In their view, we are part of the Christian right, and therefore we are just like ISIS, Boko Haram, and Al-Qaeda in their eyes. It is that insane. It is that illogical. It is that irrational. Go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Click on latest video if you'll scroll down a little. You'll see a video debunking the conservative Christians equals ISIS nonsense. You say, but nobody would believe that. People believe it. Now, notice Rosie O'Donnell said that fundamentalists, on the whole, all believe in some common things, that women are second-class citizens. Well, as the gospel spread through the world and continues to spread through the world, it has a liberating effect on women. That's just history. That's known. Read Rodney Stark's Rise of Christianity. I mean, many other books would point to that. That gays are evil. Well, we'd say homosexual practice is wrong. But if you want to look at the difference between conservative Christianity in America, which says to practicing homosexual men and women, you're welcome in our churches, we'll love you and extend the same care to you, But to be a committed member, you have to be a born-again follower of Jesus, living a moral life. So we say the same to you as to everyone. You've got to turn away from sin to follow Jesus and turn away from practices displeasing his eyes. But by all means, if you're our neighbors, we're going to feed you if you're hungry, and we're going to help you if you're in need. Contrast that with a Muslim fundamentalist country that would kill them. that violence is okay if my side does it, since I speak for God. Here, we've got 75% of Americans professing to be Christians, all right? So we know that's just empty number in terms of professions. It used to be 85% a few years ago. Now there are a lot of people, not have become atheists, some have, but they identify as nuns. They have no religious affiliation. And obviously those are people we want to reach. But let's just say there were 25% of America was born again. You said it's high for you. Let's say 20% claim to be born again. Okay, whatever the figure is. Let's say 20% claim to be born again. We're not going around killing people who differ with us. You say, yeah, but what about that abortion doctor? Yeah, that's the exception to the rule. We've been doing pro-life work for decades and decades and decades, and there are people week in, week out for years and years and years and years and years in front of abortion clinics, and they're not killing anybody. And they're trying to stop little ones from being killed in the womb. They're pro-life, not going on killing people. That sex is generally bad. No, sex within wedlock is wonderful. Sex outside of wedlock is wrong. That's why you have sexually transmitted diseases outside of wedlock, but not inside wedlock if both parties are faithful. But notice the broad brush with which they paint. And look, some it's just rhetoric. I recognize that for some it's just rhetoric. But I really believe for others it's anything but rhetoric, and they really believe these things to be true. You say, yeah, but I thought you were going to encourage me. I'm going to encourage you by saying simply this. I'm not surprised that the darkness is dark. I'm not surprised that those opposing the gospel oppose the gospel. I'm not surprised that here in this case, you've got Peter Tatchell clearly saying, I advocate against the religious right in these different countries, including Christians, and I advocate for secularism. He is being bold, unashamed of his secular viewpoint. Let's be bold and unashamed of ours. I don't mean in a way that's nasty or mean-spirited. I mean in a way that says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Here, was there any more rejected sector of our society than homosexuals a couple generations ago? Was there anything more shameful than someone could say about themselves? Was there anything more that was stigmatized or had to be hidden? And then in the early days of gay pride events, were in many ways the worst side of the movement, was that side paraded boldly to say we're not ashamed, even of things that many gays and lesbians would be ashamed of and would say that we don't do that, that's perverse, and yet it was marched down the street in public saying we're not ashamed? Well, how much more should we as followers of Jesus say we're not ashamed? We'll be bold. To me, the more people on the other side are out and proud, the easier it is for us to be out and proud. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, to the phones. Sharon in Kaufman, Texas. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brand. How are you?
Doing well, thanks.
Good. I'm in a small church of about 10 people, and right now we don't have a pastor, so I need your theological answer to this question.
Okay.
We have a prayer list that we pray every Wednesday, and there's been a gentleman on there who is an atheist. His wife comes to our church, and she's a Christian, but he's an atheist. He's been sick and had cancer for about a year. They cured him of the cancer, but he's still real sick with vomiting and dizziness and so forth. And so I asked a question. I said, I don't think the Lord can hear us. I may be wrong. See, I need you to tell me. Will the Lord heal him if we pray for him? I said, I don't think the Lord hears intercessory prayer unless it's for his salvation and him come to know the Lord, and through that he can be healed and give glory to God. But I don't think the Lord's going to hear our prayers.
Yeah, Sharon, first, thank you for asking. I'm just jumping in so I can answer the question before the break.
Okay.
No, by all means, pray for his healing. That's part of God's mercy. Do you know how many people come to faith because they're healed? Of course, I pray for everything. I just pray God save him, God heal him. I wouldn't pray either or. And in fact, the Greek word sozo includes being saved, delivered from physical illness, from spiritual death, from demons. So I would pray, God, save him, God, heal him, God, deliver him. I could pray that all using the same Hebrew word or Greek word, actually, and pray all those things at once. And many, many times people come to faith because they're healed. I just saw a video on the streets from Joel Crumpton, who was on our broadcast yesterday. He showed me two videos, and these were people who were healed. One was a gang member whose hand was healed, and he came back the next day. He was injured in a fight, and now he came back a couple days later to find the guys to thank God for healing his hand and to talk about the Lord. And another woman, bad car wreck, healed. I saw the video. She's testifying. She's blessed, and she repented of her sins and wants to follow Jesus. So absolutely, say, God, have mercy on him. Save him. Heal him. And it could be the healing that brings him to spiritual salvation.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
When a lion roars, it's declaring its lordship over its territory. It's calling its lionesses to it. It's warning intruders that its dominion is not for sharing. It's anticipating the feast which is to come.
That's the voice of Derek Frank. Matt, is Derek joining us tomorrow on the air? Tomorrow, Derek is going to be joining us. Actually, he'll be in the first hour. So if you miss it in the second hour, we'll tell you how you can listen online. But Derek Frank narrates the docudrama. He narrates the docudrama, Let the Lion Roar. It takes you through church history. I mean, you go back as if you were there with Martin Luther or John Calvin or others, and you find out how significant church leaders had a major blind spot towards Israel, even hostility towards the Jewish people, and how this has affected church history, this has affected the world. So a DVD plus CD plus book plus my interviews with Derek Frank, Paul Wilbur, John Burness, and others. So if you miss the interview, you'll catch it all on the CD. Whatever you miss, we'll package all on the CD. So you get the DVD, Blu-ray, CD, and a book. And it's only $40 postage paid for the whole package. Let the Lion Roar. To find out more, go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. And the interviews we're doing are exclusive. You will not find them anywhere else. So the whole package is only through our ministry. We trust it's really going to bless you. That is at Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. 866-34-TRUTH. Before I talk about more news items and before I bring you more perspectives to encourage you and strengthen you to stand strong, let's go back to the phones. Patricia in Boca Raton, Florida, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Good, good. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Okay. If a person accepted the Lord and was working for the Lord and seemed to be respecting God's ways, and then they completely went off the deep end and were sinning in really bizarre and just completely evil ways, how is that a possibility?
Well, if they still think that they are in right relationship with God, that's just part of the deception. Remember that deception is very deceiving, Patricia. For someone to do the things you're describing and to have once known the Lord, that means that the enemy got in somehow. That means that they opened the door to sin. That means that they have somehow done... They've believed enough lies, they've hardened their heart enough that they could believe anything else. You know what I'm saying? If they could do the things they were doing that they never would have dreamed of doing if they were in right relationship with God, they could believe they're still fine with him. They could go through all types of emotional manipulation. There's what's called cognitive dissonance. It's a type of denial, you would say, and you're happy rather than depressed, even though everything's saying you should be depressed. But it's sometimes not a real reaction. It's just a denying. And they may believe a false theology that says no matter how they live, no matter what they do, no matter how much they deny Jesus, once they're saved, they're always saved. That's dangerous. Patricia, I've heard people say that even in their miserable estate, that God never left them, even when they were in sin. I can believe that the mercy of God is still reaching out to them and God is still dealing with them. But Scripture is clear that those who are truly believers will live godly lives. So if someone claims to be a follower of Jesus and is living in continued unrepentant sin and dies in open rebellion against God, denying the Lord, we have no indication or no reason to hope that they were saved. If they were truly saved, that would mean they turned away from their salvation. They rejected it. You say, well, once you're saved, you can't reject it. Well, if that's true, then the person was never really saved. But Scripture is plain that those who live and die in rebellion against God are not saved. Now, let me say this. There are people who are believers and who messed up and who maybe couldn't fix what happened. You know, they did something, they regretted it, but they died in a miserable state. God's mercy is vast. I'm never going to pretend that I'm the judge of an individual. You know what I'm saying? And maybe somebody did something terribly wrong. They realized, oh God, I'm doing the wrong thing. Have mercy, but it's too late. They've set a course they can't reverse and they die because of it. God's mercy is amazing. But Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father. That's what Jesus said. 2 Timothy 2:19 says that the foundation of God stands sure, that the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who calls on the name of the Lord turn away from iniquity. So, and then 1 John 3, verses 6 and 9 say that the person who continues to live in sin has neither seen God nor known him. And if someone is living in sin, then my only call to them is to come back. God will have mercy on them. God will forgive them. Look at the last two verses of James, chapter 5. Look at the last two verses. In fact, let me read them to you, okay? Because there's always hope. There's always...
My thing is, I'm just wondering, could it be possible the person only came to the Lord in some state of, like, panic from their lifestyle, and they didn't really get it from the beginning?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. There's no question that could happen. There's no question that it's not a real coming to the Lord, that it was a convenience thing, that it was a crisis thing, and that there was no real faith, there was no real repentance, and it wasn't a true conversion.
Yeah,
right.
Or no roots or something. Yeah.
Right, right. So the parable of the sower, the seed that's sown in shallow ground, are those people ever true believers? If they were, they fell away quickly. But either way, they're not true believers long term. So what's your friend's first name?
Thomas.
All right, let's just pray. Father, we ask you to get hold of Thomas. If he's never known you, if he's turned his back from you, God, I'm asking you right now in Jesus' name to have mercy on Thomas and to bring him to repentance and salvation and deliverance and freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, friends, keep your head up because Jesus is Lord. Keep your head up because God's kingdom is advancing. Keep your head up because there's more good happening around the world than many of us know. Go to AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org. Click on latest blog, all right? And when you do, you will be encouraged to read what our Fire Grads missionaries are doing around the world. In fact, we're going to encourage you. We're going to bring a couple of missionaries into our studio in a few minutes, and they are going to encourage you with what God's doing in their lives and their families. Jesus is Lord. Hey, stop for a minute. Look at all the rough circumstances around you and say it out loud. Jesus is Lord. If you're right with him, you got nothing to fear. Let me say it again. If you're in right relationship with God, you've got nothing to fear.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right. I've got some guests here. Our studio has suddenly filled with activity. As I said today, I want to encourage you in the midst of a world gone crazy. Things are messed up. Things have been messed up for a long time. I mentioned the first hour that immediately after the beginning of the human race on the earth, after Adam and Eve rebelled, that over a period of years after that, their firstborn son killed their secondborn son. I mean, it doesn't get much worse than that. Things were so bad in human history, God had to wipe out the whole world and save just Noah and his family. You say, well, I guess things haven't been so bad because he hasn't wiped us out since. No, it's simply because he'd have to wipe us out continually because of our Genesis 8. That's what's written. Yet in the midst of all the craziness, God is at work. Before I introduce my guest to you, our number 866-34-TRUTH. Before I introduce my guest, I played a clip from Rosie O'Donnell where she compared a fundamentalist worldwide. I read a quote from gay activist Peter Tatchell in England where he spoke of fundamentalism or the religious right worldwide and includes, quote, the religious right in Europe and the USA, which would be conservative believers like you and me, along with groups like Boko Haram and ISIS. And then Rosie O'Donnell speaks of ISIS in the same sentence or same segment as she would talk about a fundamentalist. And again, in her view, we would be fundamentalists, as I understand it, because we believe what the Bible says is true and relevant for today. But the idea that you can possibly compare conservative Christians with radical Muslims is not just mind-boggling. It takes actual denial of facts. I'm looking at a picture here of men who are identified as homosexual being hung in a Muslim country. All right, it's on Pamela Geller's website. You say, oh, she says controversial things. Well, just check to see if they're accurate. But right now in Kuwait, 23 cross-dressers and gays have been held in Kuwait. So in other words, in America, not just a matter of marching down streets, but having all kinds of rights and acknowledgments by the society and gender identity rights and sexual orientation rights. And that's in America, okay? And if you have conservative Christians, they would say, well, we differ with those laws, but we want to treat everyone with civility just the same and protect someone from being hurt or harmed in Muslim country. And Kuwait's not radical Islam throughout. But Kuwait, you'd be arrested, some Muslim countries put to death for these very things. But friends, we're not just standing by doing nothing. We are, by God's grace, making a difference, raising up and sending out laborers all over America and all over the world. So I just want to take a minute to introduce our guests. One's been on the Line of Fire with us before, one for the very first time, and then we'll come right back and get to know them better. First, Frank Pott from the Netherlands. Frank, how long now have you been serving with Fire, doing a work in the Netherlands?
Since 2002.
2002. And you were married with how many kids?
5 children.
Which is unusual for the Netherlands these days.
Yes, we are quite a spectacle.
All right. And then Brian Loudermilk. Brian, how long have you and your wife and family been in Tanzania?
We've been 2 years.
2 years. And how many kids do you have?
We have 5 children.
5 kids also. So in the Netherlands, then uprooting from the States, going over to Tanzania. And are you, just real quick, in a word or two, are you encouraged by what you're seeing around you or discouraged?
I'm discouraged.
Discouraged because?
It's getting darker.
It's getting darker. Ah, but do you have hope?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. What about you, Brian?
I am encouraged. Seeing what the Lord is doing and the people he's bringing into his kingdom and the people he's raising up to go and bring others into his kingdom.
Got it. All right. Hey, some honest perspectives. If you want to find out more about what these frontline workers are doing, go to fire-international, fire-international.org, and then just click on Holland, click on Tanzania, find out what they're doing, find out how you can get behind them, pray for them, support them. We'll be right back with encouragement.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, it's not just the way I'm wired in God, but the darkness greatly encourages me because I know that the light will shine more brightly. I know that for many, this is what's needed to finally wake people up. And in certain ways, I expected to see an increase in darkness in certain aspects of our society before awakening came. So it's miserable. It's terrible in terms of lives are being hurt and people are being confused. And in that sense, territory is being taken for wrong purposes. But it's encouraging because in the midst of it, God is moving. Michael Brown, welcome back to the Line of Fire. I'm sitting with two of our fire missionaries who are serving with their families overseas, one in his native country and another in a foreign country. So, Frank Pott, you've been on the air with us before. It's always great to talk with you. You're now leading Fire School of Ministry in Rotterdam, which is Fire School of Ministry for Europe.
Right.
So, tell us everything that's wrong and bad about the Netherlands.
Well, I've said before that we are first in legal gay marriage. We are first in legal euthanasia. We are first in legal prostitution. We are first in legal abortion. Now can be added that our government is going after our freedom of religion and freedom of education. And actually, I'm going to court shortly after I come back because we just started a Bible school.
And there's opposition to that and where it's taking place and so on.
Right.
Right. So on the one hand, the Dutch people were not, say, aggressive in certain ways, in you know, maybe more willing to roll with the punches or even with the midst of Nazi Germany and so on, that there was perhaps a more passive approach in certain ways. And yet, in other ways, this is a very aggressive leading the way socially down the wrong path. Why is that happening in your country?
I think that most of it is based out of fear, because we saw it lately with this month. We had Wilders, the politician.
Yes.
He is now forced to go to court again. And I'm not agreeing with his statements. But what is happening that we had ISIS, pro-ISIS demonstrations in The Hague where people were shouting, kill the Jews, kill the Jews, kill the Jews. And
so these are the Muslim radicals that he's been warning about.
Right. And they are shouting this out without being called to come to court. And Wilders had some comments about these people, and it's called the discrimination.
He gets called to court.
And he gets called to court. So I think a lot is involved with fear.
But what are you seeing God do? What's happening in the school? What are you watching the Lord do in the midst of the darkness?
Well, that's the amazing thing, because the darker it gets, you said it before, the lighter, the more brightly shines his light. And we see that. We see God moving in our midst. We have meetings in our church starting at 11, and after the service has stopped, people don't want to go home. And they come to our house, and we stay there to 2, 3 a.m., just going after God. And the weight of his glory is coming into our living room, and we have the fellowship of the Holy Spirit where nobody wants to leave.
And are you seeing people getting saved?
We see people being changed and affected by what we are doing. And it is a very hard ground in the Netherlands, because many people would consider themselves to be Christians.
Right.
But in the midst of that, we see church growth of those who are willing to walk the same path as Jesus.
Mm.
Because we see people that if you take it like how many people are really born again, I think that 3% is even a high percentage.
Yeah, and what about just having five kids in the Netherlands? That's kind of countercultural, isn't it?
Absolutely, because people consider us as being abnormal. Most of them have at the most two children in their family, and to have five, we are quite a spectacle.
Yeah, it's amazing, but it just, again, gives you a mindset of the culture, and even large families and the importance of children is downplayed. Now, Brian, you picked up your whole family and your wife, five kids, and you left America. You look American. Skin color is Caucasian. But you went over to Tanzania, so very different culture, people group in Africa. What moved you to leave America and go all the way to Africa?
Yeah, well, it was kind of a long process for us. The Lord spoke to us 7 years before we actually went to the field. My wife came home from a conference, Heidi Baker, actually. She had heard her speak, and God really spoke to her heart that we would someday be in Africa. So, you know, through this whole praying and seeking the Lord together, the Lord spoke to my heart as well, and we just decided, yes, this is what we'll do, and sold the car, the house, and left. I was a youth and children's pastor for 7 years, and so, you know, left a lot of family behind as well.
How did your wife feel about this? Just because there's a certain aspect of caregiver, nurturer, where she's going to be touched by what the kids are going through, maybe even more than you.
Yeah, to be honest with you, it was a very hard first year for us on the mission field, just with taking your whole children away from their family, away from what they're used to.
And what were their age ranges when you remember the youngest and the oldest?
Yeah, it was 2 years ago, so my oldest would have been six. It would have been six, five, four, and about 1 year old, and then the new one we've adopted since being there.
Okay, got it. So tell me some of the roughest spots of the first year.
Yeah, I mean, some of the roughest spots, I mean, for my wife, it was just seeing the kids transition into different types of food. And trying to eat the Tanzanian food. For me, it was, and probably their security, she would say as well. For me as a husband, it was trying to steward my wife's heart in a different atmosphere and in a different way than I was used to doing it here, where things were normal.
And do you wake up, did you sometimes wake up and realize where you are, and it's, you can't take it, you cannot take it, you got to get back to the States. You ever felt that?
I have not. My wife would say yes. I have not. I adjusted pretty well. And, you know, when God's grace is so sufficient, and that's what I can say, is he sustained us through the whole time and just really gave us a, although there were some days, yes, you know, hey, it would be easier to go home. We were so convinced of God's calling that we knew we were missing out and we'd be stepping outside of his will if we were to return.
Mm. Now, it does take a while before you find full fruitfulness in terms of what you're doing and missions work. But you can always do something, and you always do see fruit. And you've joined a ministry that's doing a lot already. So what are you and your family now involved in and getting to do in Tanzania?
Yeah, we're involved in several things, but the main ministry we're doing is we were part of a startup group with another fire missionary in the local church there called Beloved, reaching out to the prostitutes of Moshi, Tanzania. Mm. There was a group, the prostitutes, who no one was reaching out to, and they ranged from age 15, is the youngest one we've seen, to the age of 35. And so we got really burdened for them and started taking to the streets at, you know, between 11 and 2 a.m. and going and preaching the gospel to them. And we were excited if one got saved, but many were it was like it was just the right time. And the Lord was calling them to himself, and so they were getting saved. And we started discipleship classes, but ended up needing a home for them. And so we've opened up a home. We're going through curriculum training through Teen Challenge we've partnered with them.
Excellent. Excellent. And what about some of the other ministries there? Boys' home, school, different things. What's the team been involved with?
Yeah, the other things we've been involved with is a village project. We started something called Watoto wa Mfalme, which means kids of the kingdom. And we've been coming. We started with three. We started just by preaching the gospel. Kids were getting saved. Kids were getting healed of various sicknesses and ailments. And they would come back the next week with their friends. And we just we left 3 months ago, there was 30 kids that were involved in that, as well as Breaking the Chains ministry, where we go into another forgotten people group, which is the juvenile prisoners there. And we get to go in there every Saturday. And 18 out of 20 of those have received Jesus. And,
praise God.
Yeah, we're going through the book of Romans in Swahili with them now, slowly trying to teach them the word and what God has for them.
How's your Swahili?
It's coming. It's coming. I can conversationally do it all right. My goal for this next stint overseas is to be able to preach in Swahili. That's, you know, you kind of miss a connection when you have to use an interpreter.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's my goal.
Excellent. And how are your kids doing with the language?
Oh, they're doing very well. Kids,
yeah,
you know, kids, they're way more adaptable than adults, I think. Their brains are just soaking it in. And although they understand a lot and they can speak it a lot, to be honest, when they get around Americans or white people, they get embarrassed to speak it. But if an African speaks it to them on the street, they will for sure respond and understand them.
Awesome. And then last question, then I got a bunch more questions for Frank. Is God just as able to supply the needs of seven people uprooting going overseas as he is one person?
Absolutely. He is. It's really tested our faith. You know, he's been more than faithful, and that's something we are growing in. You know, I thought I had a lot of faith before we went overseas, and when we got there, God said, no, like, listen, you really need to trust me more than you ever have before. And so he is able, and he is faithful, and he will be continually faithful. You know, we have challenges and financial challenges, those types of things, but he's always faithful to supply.
Yeah, so friends, don't let the size of your family or other situations stand in the way. If God's calling, he will back you. All right, we're going to get back to the Netherlands on the other side of the break.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Joey, in a couple of minutes, I want to get to a couple more sound bites. So have clips 4 and 7 ready for us. I'm here sitting in my studio with Frank Pott, Frank and his wife Bobby, and their 5 kids serving in the Netherlands. They're from the Netherlands. They graduated from Forest School of Ministry and went back to Holland. And Frank has been a pioneer there in many, many ways. When he said he's going to court, it's not the first time he's had opposition to standing for the gospel. And yet he knows the promises of God. And he has a great vision for the Netherlands and for the Church of the Netherlands. Frank, standing up for pro-life, you've seen in America how common this is, how much public discussion there is over this, how the nation is kind of equally divided and the pro-life movement continues to make grounds, and people on the pro-abortion side are concerned that the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision will be overthrown. It's very different in Holland, isn't it?
Right. It is. In Holland is really a diversion between the humanistic view of the matter and the minority of Christians that really make a stand, because even in our churches there are many people that say, well, we understand why a person would take an abortion.
So when you, just with your little church years back, as you were in the earlier days of pioneering, got involved in pro-life activity, you got national attention, didn't you?
Yes, on 3 different ways. The first was that national television, they found an article that I wrote, and they asked if they could do a documentary on our church. And they were for a week with us, filming how we were standing in front of an abortion clinic and praying and do all kinds of things that was making our point towards pro-life.
Right. So that's national news in Holland. And I just use that as one example to give people a feel. I mean, it's not like the nation is standing on the street corner shouting, we don't want God, we don't want religion, but secularism really rules. And with it, it's interesting that all these things go hand in hand. Redefining marriage, legalized prostitution, legalized marijuana, strong pro-abortion, and even legalized drug use. We've mentioned this before, but I remember an afternoon that we had when we were in Holland together and we were going to get a bite to eat. And I said, how about that coffee shop? You said, no, you get marijuana in the coffee shop. What about euthanasia? We've read reports that doctors have euthanized thousands and thousands of people, babies, elderly, without anyone's permission. Was there much outcry about this?
Not so much. Even more, we see that there's now a waiting list for people to be euthanized.
Mm.
And what we see is that there was just one minority that overruled the new pill that they wanted to give out, that for as early as 12 years old, children could even get that pill. And if they would be depressed or thought, well, you know, I just end my life, they could do that. But right. It was just overruled by one or two voice.
When was that overruled?
I think 2 years ago.
Okay, because I remember reading the reports about 12-year-olds being allowed. So glad to hear at least that was overruled.
That was overruled, yes.
So again, friends, I'm just painting a little picture. The red light district, of course, Amsterdam is infamous, but God is moving in the midst of it. Frank, what are you working for? What's the vision that God's put in your heart?
The vision that God has put in my heart is to see the nation being changed by God's presence, by being a landing strip for His Holy Spirit. And we have been training people to not just experience God's presence, but also to be able to spread that anointing over cities. And we see that even in our meetings right now, that our group of people, it's a small branch, but our group is really going after God. And for months now, we see a move of the Holy Spirit where his heaviness of His presence is coming in our meetings. And it changed lives. I mean, the hunger is so deep.
And you're seeing that in your school.
And we see that is as well in our school, that we have a chapel service and we never go into to teaching because God's presence comes in our midst.
Right. So you got tons of time to teach through the week, but sometimes the presence of God more important than any of that. And we do live stream some of our classes over with yours. So we are standing together with you. And folks, I want to encourage you to pray for Frank and for Fire School of Ministry Europe, based in Rotterdam. They have a lot of opposition. As Frank has moved and worked for national prayer movements and things like this, there's always opposition, but we know major breakthroughs are at hand. Have you ever seen a football game? A quarterback is going for a quarterback sneak, and he's got these giant guys behind him, and they push him through the line. So you need those pushing ahead of you and those pushing behind you as well. So, Frank, we are standing with you. Fire-International, just click on Holland to find out more about that. And since we're talking about Europe, the city of Geneva, John Calvin's Geneva, amazing changes came to that city through the influence of Calvin and the Reformation, but not complete changes. Joey, play clip number 7. I just want you to hear this. This is from the documentary, dramatized documentary with people like Stephen Baldwin and Kevin Sorbo appearing on it. Let's talk about the city of Geneva. Clip number 7.
Geneva had become a city of refuge for Protestant refugees from the Reformation. As a result, it had doubled its population from 10,000 to 20,000. Yet by total contrast, another group of people had been deliberately excluded. They were the Jews, and the Jews were forbidden to live in Geneva. Long before the Reformation, anti-Semitism had been rife across Europe. Everyone regarded the Jews as a cursed people, and Geneva was no exception.
Ah, never changed? How could that be? How did that happen back then? And even through the Reformation, it didn't change. And how is it that the words of Martin Luther were used by Adolf Hitler to justify and ignite the Holocaust? How could that be? Friends, you really need to watch this documentary. We have an exclusive package right here on the Line of Fire. You can't get this resource package together anywhere aside from through our ministry, and we've put it together the best way that we possibly can. You'll get the DVD and a Blu-ray disc, so both, not either, but both. You get both of these, the Blu-ray disc, the DVD, Let the Lion Roar, dramatized documentary. That was the voice of Derek Frank you just heard, who is our narrator through it all. And then the book by Derek Frank that tells the story about anti-Semitism in church history, replacement theology, and God's eternal purposes for Israel, Let the Lion Roar. And then, in addition to that, exclusive interviews that I'm doing with Derek Frank, with Paul Wilbur, with John Burness, and others right here in the Line of Fire. The entire package together is just $40, postage paid, and it comes in a great package as well. So you'll be blessed by it, and you have a hard time stopping watching because it's riveting. Go to Ask Dr. Brown, AskDrBrown, AskDrBrown.org. You'll find it right on the homepage. Or call 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. my bottom line today, I encourage you not just to hear the bad news and the bad things that are happening around the world, but to ask questions and to find out what God is doing, and then to testify to one another about the mighty acts of God.